Well, good morning. Bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5. It's important that we remain steadfast on the great truth that light will always dispel darkness. No matter how great or how deep the darkness, light always prevails. In the darkest cave, the smallest match will shine. Light is its own eminence. Even the dark voids of space cannot quench the stars nor halt their radiance. Scientists tell us that the light that we see in the evening sky may be thousands of years old, just reaching us. That the stars may have burned out and the light is still coming to us, because light will always dispel darkness. Neither time nor distance can interrupt the stars nor halt their radiance. A cloud may obscure it for a period of time, but it's only temporary. Light will always dominate, and light will prevail. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, it says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he tells them, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And I think of that with our wonderful fellowships, how beautifully, if we take the light of God's word in our house, it will give light to our whole house. The darkness cannot prevail over the light, so you keep on shining. Don't worry about the clouds that come by. They're only temporary. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go there. I wanted to put this in a context and share some of these truths with you and encourage you. Because sometimes we look out and we see the darkness and it's very apparent to us. But remember, you are the light of the world. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 16, it tells us, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty," or his glorious magnificence, "his radiance above the brightness of the sun." The word sometimes calls it glistering or glistening. It is an attractive, a glorious, a wonderful and majestic light. The light of God is not just reflected from us. It is actually within us from the new birth. Shine, because you are a light. Yes, it's evident the world proclaims they are much more enlightened, but they are just in a deeper darkness. Isaiah 50 tells us they call the darkness light and the light darkness. They may think it's enlightening to take someone's sex organs and turn them around so it looks like the other sex, and think that's how enlightened we are, and they may adore that kind of insanity, but it's still darkness. They proclaim they are enlightened, but they call the light darkness and the darkness light. And that's the world we live in. But there are people, humble of heart, There are people who seek after the things of God. There are people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those whom God has called, whom he knows will respond to that light. And we have the opportunity to lead them into it. The world may say Christianity is archaic, unenlightened, naive, etc. But the next verse tells us, or verse 19, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. It is so clear to us, it is so evident to us, and it is so evident to those who seek after light, who seek after morality, who seek after ethics, who seek after a way, who seek after a path in which to bring their children and their families along. To them, it is a glorious thing. And verse 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. There is absolute evidence that we have not followed cunningly devised fables like they have, like the world has. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And that's exactly where we are. We're shining lights in a dark place, a perverse place. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We proclaim that, we believe that, and we live that, and we carry forth those same words that bring light into the darkness. Well, chapter 2, it tells us these truths, and I want to share some of this with you. In regard to a more sure word of prophecy. Verse 5, it's speaking about what God did. And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. In the sense that their own darkness allowed that to take place. God didn't flood the world. God lifted lifted Noah out from the middle of it and his family. Noah had witnessed for 120 years, and the people were in deep, deep darkness. They thought they were smarter. They thought they were more advanced. They thought that they were greater. They thought that they really had the world going. They really had things set up in the world. And God was able to save Noah, a preacher of what? Righteousness. A light out of the midst of the world that got flooded. Why? Because they were in darkness, and that's what darkness does. They do it to themselves. This destruction is caused by ungodliness, but not by God. It says, bringing in the flood upon the world of the what?
Ungodly.
They bring it in themselves. Who rearranges plains and valleys and things through the mountainsides and rivers and changes the directions that the rivers go? Who does that? Men do. We assign the Corps of Engineers, go out and they cut off a river and they dam it up and they do this and they do that because we want to build over here and we want this and we want that and we want all these other things. And then when it floods, they say, oh my God, God is punishing us or some insanity like that. Who built them? Who did it? They did. And it says, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Would he have lifted them out with Noah? Absolutely. But they didn't want him. They rejected him because they rejected light. Really something. This is... this is the cause they were ungodly men and ungodly things happened to them because they promote ungodly. They seek the ungodly. The press might call it, oh, unintended consequences. But it is the evil spirit's intention. It is the devil's intention. It's not unintended consequences. It is a direct and foresaw and forethought of intention and promoted as greater light and greater intelligence and greater understanding. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live how? They bring it upon themselves. And he did what? Delivered just Lot, vexed with their filthy conversation of the wicked. The contamination with which they garnered and gathered to themselves. Really something. The wicked, the lawless. But what did he do for Lot and his family? Took them out of the middle. Really something. Their conduct was so foul that they endeavored to rape, homosexually rape, angels. Now, you people might say, well, they didn't know they were angels. The devil spirits in them did. We live in the factory for bushels. They're always trying to cover the light. They manufacture those which try to cover the light. But we still send our kids to them and pay them a lot of money to educate our kids in sanity. That these things are good. And we don't need to blend in with them. We can have compassion. We can have love. We can show kindness. We can show generosity. But we don't have to mix in and we don't have to blend. And the only one that's going to teach your children the truth is you. And if you lose sight of the truth, you will have nothing to teach them, and they will fall into the same thing, this false enlightenment, this false caring, this false acceptance until you reject what they say, and then you're the target. They're always trying to cover the candle. But we ought to be well-pleasing to God because he has given us absolute assurance, a more sure word of prophecy. If there were ever a time that we should really focus on helping our children and helping our families to see that they are the lights of the world and what light is and what light does for those who seek, that would be the greatest contribution we could ever make to a society and to a culture or to a nation or any other thing. not allow them to cover our lives through the deception of in being intellectual and being trained and being all this stuff. It's just a bunch of baloney. It's not light. It is darkness. Deep, deep darkness. And these things have been around for centuries. The Lord, and then it says, for that, verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And we see it in our culture, goodness sakes, my God, it's so evident how evil, how corrupt, how distasteful it is. Just the insanity that's on there. You may have a beef about something and you go tear something else up. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And we even have our leaders that find excuses for it. Well, you have to understand it in the context of the history. And that makes it right. That makes devilishness right. They don't have a military, so it makes it right for someone to put a vest on and get on a bus with people that are going to work and have absolutely nothing to do with whatever you're doing and blow themselves up and kill everybody on the bus. There's a logic to it. Yeah, and a logic of insanity. Just wrong target. You're missing it by a mile. Well, God has an exit strategy for those who live in the light, those who are the light to the world. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And the punishment will be what ungodliness brings. It's something. But God can deliver the godly out of temptation. Don't get tempted to blend in and be acceptable. And, well, we have to be more Christian. Be more Christian, yes, but understand what it is to be a Christian. You are a light of the world, and you make manifest the darkness. You don't blend into the darkness. You make it manifest, make it crystal clear. People will see it. Those that are trying to hide their lives hate it. It tells us in John. Let's go to the Gospel. Put a ribbon here. Let's go to the Gospel of John. I'm just thinking of this. Yeah, here it is in John chapter 3. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men, what? Loved darkness. Skotos. It's skotos is the word. Comes from the Greek word skotia, which means to be deprived of light. They deprive themselves of the light. And why? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were what?
Evil.
And everyone that tries to take down Christianity, that tries to take down the Lord Jesus Christ, that tries to make it all look terrible, they're doing it because why? Their own deeds are what?
Evil.
That's what the scriptures say. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought, what? In God. Beautiful, isn't it? And that's where our lives are. Or at least, that's where our lives should be. And we have to make the decision every day. We have to make the decision, am I going to mix in and look like part of the darkness so I can get along? Or do I live in the light so people can get out of the darkness? That people can repent from their evil and come to the light. God has an exit strategy. He pulled a man out of the middle. He pulled the last vestiges of light out, like he did for Noah, like he did for Lot, and like he will do for mankind, and against those that are sold out to the lie. The punishment is there is no light left, and they are subject to the darkness of their own iniquity. And they have nothing left but to rub their own iniquity up against each other. And boy, that is irritating. Well, let's go back to 2 Peter. And it tells us exactly who they are. Verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 2. These are wells without what? There's no life in them. They're wells without water. There is no life there. And are gone astray. Oh, where am I? These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with the what? Tempest. They're clouds. They try to obscure the light. But they're carried with the what? Tempest. To whom the midst of darkness is reserved for how long? Simply because they reject light. They hate the light. And light will always prevail over darkness. Could they get out? Yes, because we read God will deliver the godly out of temptation. But they don't want to. They hate the light because their deeds are evil. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who were clean escaped from them who live in error. It's really very simple. The knowledge was available, but they reject it because they want to continue in the things that they were in. Every man and every woman will have had the opportunity to know who Jesus Christ is. Every man and every woman will have the opportunity to confess Jesus as their Lord. But they hate the light, and you got to be coming to the light or you're never going to confess Jesus as your Lord. They see it. They see the beauty. They see the light because they see you. We are in the world. Look at, let's see. I'll keep reading here. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They're the doulos of corruption. They love to corrupt. You know, remember the term doulos from the Old Testament, a bonded slave? He would go to his master and say, I love my wife. I love my job. I love what I'm doing. I love my family. I want to serve you the rest of my life. They do just the opposite. They do it to darkness. I want what you have, and I will... And I love what you have. They are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome of the same is brought into bondage or enslavement. It's funny how they always promise liberty. We hear that all the time. We're going to make things better for you, and look at what we've done for you. We've got this program and that program. We're going to give you this and we're going to give you that and all this other stuff. They promise them liberty. But they are the servants of corruption, and they bring them into enslavement, bring them into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that they've confessed Jesus Christ. Understand that? But they know about Jesus Christ from observing your life, from observing the writings, from hearing the scriptures, may have even read the Bible, but they reject it. It's not like they never knew. Because what did the Pharisees do to Jesus Christ? Did they know? Did they have a knowledge of Jesus Christ? Yes. What he did is a notable miracle, but that it go no further. Let's stop this. The whole world is going after him. Let's stop it. That's what I'm saying. It's not like they don't know. They had an opportunity to know. They just rejected it. We, on the other hand, confess Jesus as our Lord. And other men and women are going to have the opportunity to confess Jesus as Lord. But these just outright reject it. No matter how many times you offer it, they would reject it. They hate it. They hate the idea of it. And some even claim to be Christians. Didn't some of the Pharisees, didn't all the Pharisees claim to be Judeans? Followers of the Judean religion? But they were so far from the tenets of the Judean religion, because if they were really looking at it, they would have noticed Christ and would have gone after Christ. But they decided to go after him in a different way. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they escaped the pollutions of the world because they had an opportunity to see there is another way to live. But they absolutely rejected it. You got it? They are entangled thereof and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Because they rejected it, and they rejected him. Everyone will have an opportunity to say yes or no to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts said absolutely not. Why? Because they call the darkness light and the light
darkness.
Exactly. Something. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning, because they go deeper into the darkness. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Because it was proclaimed. It's proclaimed all over our country. I want you to understand this, because when people get to reading this part, they say, oh, you know, he was saved and he lost his salvation. No, they had an opportunity to hear. They had an opportunity to know. It was absolutely palpable. Evidence clearly seen. You know, it was right in front of their faces with the healings and the deliverance. And they said, that is devilish. That is darkness. My God, that is evil. We have to get the people to swerve away from that. That's how blinded they were. Did they see it? Yes. Did they hear it? Yes. Did they know it? Yes. But they rejected it. You got it? It's not like they were born again for a while and they accepted. That's not what it's talking about. They saw the comparison because it was right in front of them and they saw it crystal clear and they said, no, I like this here. And why? Because their own deeds were darkness and they didn't want to confess their deeds. Just like Lucifer and the angels that fell with him had an opportunity to repent. It says iniquity was found in him, but you will never find anywhere in the scriptures that he ever repented of it. Because he believes he is right. And once he was right there with God and decided to choose darkness, he was not going back. Thank you very much. For it is better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So, really something. But God has an exit strategy. The punishment to them is that there is no light left, and they're left to their own devices of darkness, and they are subject to the darkness of their own iniquity. They, having nothing left but to rub their own iniquity upon each other, and like I said, it's going to be a very irritating thing. Clouds that try to obscure light. The knowledge was available, but they, with full knowledge, willfully rejected it. That's what it's talking about. And they live in the midst of it, but cast it off and tried to take other people with them. And here's the reason why. Go back to John. The Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verse 5 says, and the light shined where?
In the darkness.
In the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The words comprehended it not is did not and could not prevail. Could not overcome it. So what do you do then? Well, you make a cloud. You try to make a shadow. You try to hide the light, but it doesn't work. Verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh, what? There you go. So does every man have an opportunity?
Yes.
Yes. But some will willfully rejected, and the evil spirit realm has already completely rejected it. Look at John chapter 3. We read this, but I want to read the rest of it. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and or but men agape darkness. Meaning it's full and unchanging. Rather than light. And the reason is because their deeds were evil. And if you can get rid of the light, you can cover your evil deeds. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples, and a disciple is one who follows in the footsteps in the light. Beautiful. You see, The light draws men and women who desire the righteous glory and majestic greatness of God in Jesus Christ, such as healing, such as deliverance, such as forgiveness of your sins, such as repentance. The kingdom of God is nigh. It is here. Jesus told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within you. Let's read that. Let's go to Luke 17. Because I mentioned that verse a lot, and I want to show it to you in the context of where it is. Luke 17. So that you see it. Because light has always been available. There has always been someone to speak the word and bring light, even in the darkest times, like between the 300 years between Malachi and John the Baptist. There still were people who were righteous. There were still people who lived godly. There were still people who lived for God, but didn't really have a teaching priest to draw the people together and really bring it to them. But Luke chapter 17, verse 20, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation or with an outward show. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Meaning, a good way to translate it, and you might even have a note in your center margin, those of you with those kinds of markings in your Bible, it means within your midst. Or you're surrounded by it. That's what that word means. It's all around you. It is so evident. It's crystal clear. Just take a look around. Look at these people. And you will know the kingdom of God is right there. You see the beauty of their lives. You see the light that is in their lives. You see the way that they love their children. You see the way that they love their family. You see the way that they love one another. You see the way that they're not trying to trick each other and deceive each other and trying to climb over each other. You see it. The kingdom of God is nigh. When he said the kingdom of God is within you, he's not speaking to the Pharisees, because certainly the Pharisees had already rejected the kingdom of God. It wasn't a part of their life. It wasn't anything they wanted to be in. But it is in us. The light of God is not only something we reflect. The light of God is in us with the new birth. It is in the lives of his disciples. It's in their speech, in their conduct, their morals, their ethics, their prayers, even for the Pharisees who rejected him. We pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? Because we so love God. The light of God is so in us that we will even extend ourselves to the nth degree. If for some reason they could change, if for some ray of light might just strike the chord of their hearts. These Pharisees who tried to put the bushel over the light, but even that couldn't contain the radiance of their lives, the beauty of their lives, and the glory of their lives. Let's finish with Matthew chapter 5. We'll close it out. Light will always prevail over darkness. It may seem very dark in our times, and our times are very dark, but the focus is not on the darkness. The focus is on the light and living light, because we don't have to be absorbed and be part of the darkness. In Mark chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's a glorious life for those who live in light, and the path is very clear. Let's dispel the darkness and continue to walk in the light. Bless your hearts.